Matthew chapter 16, I would like to begin reading with the 13th verse. The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of the church, with God adding to the church recently, the past month, about six that have been added to the church. We're thankful for that. It's important that the church understand her responsibility to those members, and it's important that those members understand their responsibility to the church. It's important that we understand what God's Word has to say about the church. The church is different than any other organization in the world. There's no organization, there's no civic club, there's nothing else that compares to the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ was established by Him. The Church of Jesus Christ was built by Him. We're going to read now from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. The Word of God says, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' They said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" If correctly read, that's Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for teaching us and instructing us in many different ways from the Word of God. We know that we don't understand it all, but as we sang earlier, we'll understand it all by and by. But we're thankful for that portion of thy word that thou hast helped us to see and understand. And we're thankful for thy church that thou hast established in the earth. And we pray thou would help each one of us to realize what a privilege it is to be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ. We know that the Word of God tells us in the Old Testament that seven women would take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own apparel, we'll wear our own apparel, we'll eat our own bread. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." We know, Lord, that there are many that want to be called by the name of Jesus Christ, be called by the name of the Church of Jesus Christ. They're not willing to follow the Word of God, not willing to follow Jesus. And we pray that you would help us tonight to realize what a blessed privilege it is to be a part of your church. And we pray that you would help us, that we would conduct ourselves in a way that we might truly be a part of the church, that we might be as a city that's set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. Bless us now as we study, teach us and instruct us, and help us to be doers of thy word and not hearers only. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is found in the 18th verse, where Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want us to think about both of those expressions, but first the first expression, where Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I believe that there are two different ways that you can understand what that rock is. First of all, let me say what it is not. That rock is not the Apostle Peter. Peter is not the rock upon which the church is built. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock. The songwriter says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so it's Jesus Christ who is the rock, and yet the particular teaching, I believe, in this verse of Scripture is that the truth that Peter just expressed, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the truth, that is the rock, that's the one truth that we must believe if we are the church of Jesus Christ. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, if he's not the anointed one, if we don't believe that he is the foundation, that he is the Messiah, if we don't believe that he is the anointed one, if we don't believe that he is our Savior, then we don't believe what the Word of God tells us about Jesus Christ. "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus says there, "I will build," notice the next two words, "I will build my church." And I want everybody here to understand that this is not our church. All through the Word of God, you will never find anywhere in the Scripture that the Bible ever finds people calling the church our church. I know that we do that sometimes in passing, but I want to caution everybody here that you give honor to Jesus Christ and that you never call this our church or my church. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's the Lord's church. He's the one that built the church. He's the one that bought the church. He's the head of the church, and he's the foundation of the church. He is our all in all. We are members of the body of the church, but it's the church of Jesus Christ. This is the church of Jesus Christ, known as the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. But it is not my church. Everybody, please remember that. It's Jesus' church. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Aren't you glad that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church? The devil and all of his angels, the President of the United States, Congress, everybody else cannot defeat the church of Jesus Christ. Nobody and everybody combined cannot destroy the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Any church that ever closes its doors, it stopped being the church of Jesus Christ before it died. Any church that continues to open its doors and may have thousands of people going, but if that church does not adhere to the truth of God's word, then it is not the church of Jesus Christ. Please turn in your Bibles to turn to Acts chapter 20. I think I put all my energy into singing tonight. That was a good song service, wasn't it? This morning and tonight. Just singing, just making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Look now at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul here in this chapter is talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He's called them together because he's not going to see them again. And the Apostle Paul says to the elders at Ephesus in verse 28, Acts chapter 28 and chapter 20 and verse 28. He says to the elders of the church, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, Does everybody understand that the pastor of the church is an overseer put there by God? He is an overseer. He is not the head of the church. He's not the boss of the church. He's an overseer. Brother Andy works with cattle and different kinds of animals, farm animals. And if I have a huge farm and I own all that cattle, I might hire Brother Andy to come work at that farm, and he may be put in charge of all of that cattle. And as being in charge of those cattle, he would be the overseer. But who do the cows belong to? They belong to me. Who is the boss of the farm? If I own the farm, I am. Likewise, the Church of Jesus Christ has overseers that God has put in the church. But Christ, it's his church still. And so he says, God has made you the overseers of the church to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Does everybody hear that last expression there? The church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whose church is this? It's Jesus' church. It's Christ's church. He purchased it with his own blood. Now, what did Matthew 16:28 say? It said, upon this rock I will build my church. Did Jesus build his church? And now he says, I will purchase. He purchased his church with his own blood. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. I just want to give you a few scriptures that establishes. Brother Andy and Brother Kyle are about to be baptized. I want you to adhere to this truth that this is the Lord's church. And you have the responsibility 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Anybody that ever tries to say this is their church, you have the responsibility to stand up and say, no, this is the Lord's church. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, listen please to verses 18 and 19. Still speaking about Jesus Christ, in Colossians 1, verses 18 and 19, the Word of God says, he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the head of the body? Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. It's his church. He bought it, he built it, and he is to have preeminence in the church. He is the head of the church. Now, as members of the church, I am so thankful that since we don't have Jesus and we don't have angels, celestial angels standing here telling us what to do, I am thankful that Jesus has given us the Word of God. He gave it to the church for the church to use the Word of God as our only rule of faith and practice. When I want to know what's right, we don't vote on what's right. We want to know what's right, we look at the Word of God to see what God says is right and what God says is wrong. Turning your Bibles to 1 Timothy very quickly. Look at this now. It's very important, so pay attention to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about the church and the fact that God has given us his holy word. God gives us the scriptures to use as the church. There are many people, how many of you have ever heard this expression? That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Have you ever heard an expression like that? Doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Oh yes, it does matter what you believe. The truth of God's word is important. And without the truth, then we cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. When we ever sacrifice the truth of God's word, when we ever compromise with the world in any way, when we give up the truth, we've given up the privilege of being identified as the church of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3, listen please to verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Word of God says, these things write I unto thee, Who wrote these things that I'm reading right here? Who wrote to Timothy here? The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, there are three different phrases used there speaking about the church. He calls it the house of God. He calls it the church of the living God. And he calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, what do pillars in an old building? Brother Billy, you're probably one of the oldest men here tonight. I'm going to pretend you are anyway. What are pillars for in a building? What are pillars? Not pillows to sleep on. What are pillars for? To hold it up. Does everybody follow that? Pillars in old buildings. Sometimes you go by old buildings and you can look under the buildings and you can see the pillars, the rocks or the beams and different things that are holding up that building. Those are the pillars, P-I-L-L-A-R-S, the pillars of the building. The church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be proclaiming the truth of God's holy word. And if we're not proclaiming the truth, if we're not proclaiming all the truth, both the fundamental and the practical teachings of God's word, if we're not upholding the truth, then we cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. Because by definition, the church is the house of God. It's the church of the living God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. So always, not just Brother Andy and Brother Kyler, but everybody here, understand that if we're going to be the church, we must contend, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Part of the truth that we must adhere to, this is not all of it, but it is imperative that we adhere to the truth of salvation by grace. Our eternal salvation, the Bible tells us and teaches that our eternal salvation is not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. I want everybody here to know and understand that we are all sinners and we have all come short of the glory of God. There's nobody here that deserves to go to heaven. The only reason that we're going to be in heaven when this world is over is because of what Jesus has done for us. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the amazing grace of God. God chose a people. Ephesians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8 both teach this, that God chose a people before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. God chose them. He predestinated them. That is, he determined where they will be when this world is over. He came, he sent his Son, and his Son redeemed those that were chosen and those that were predestinated. They were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And every one of those that was chosen and predestinated and redeemed, every one of them, the Spirit of God comes to them, whether they ever hear the preaching of the gospel or not. God is not dependent upon men to save his people from their sins. And God sends his Spirit throughout the earth, and his Spirit quickens his people. Everyone that was chosen, everyone that was predestinated, everyone that Jesus died for, the Spirit of God goes to them and quickens them. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead, not sick, but dead. Brother Neil, would you take my hand, please? Yes, he can. Do you know why he can take my hand right now? Because he's alive. Now, Brother Neil, if I outlive you and you're laying in a casket down here and you're dead, and I say, Brother Neil, take my hand and you can live, are you going to get up out of the casket? No. He's dead. Does everybody understand the difference? There's such a distorted picture given today where people are saying that Jesus died for everybody and he wants to save you if you'll let him, and he's got his hand out, and if you'll just take his hand that you can be born again. Brethren, there's nothing further from the truth than you taking God's hand and getting born again. God quickens his people by his power. And he quickens every one of them. And they're born of the Spirit of God. Then they're taught. God writes his laws in their hearts. And they're taught what's right and what's wrong. And then as they obey God and fear God and serve God, God blesses them to feel his presence with them. Some of them are in Africa, some in China, some in Russia, some are in countries that have never heard the preaching of the gospel, and yet they know the difference in right and wrong. And as they follow the leadership of the Spirit of God and do what God would have them to do, they can be in the kingdom of heaven there, just like we're in the kingdom of heaven here. They can have that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The church of Jesus Christ must be the pillar and ground of the truth. We have to teach